Welcome to Small Business Insights, where back office conversations give us insight to what's really going on. Is it grit or luck that gives a small business owner an advantage? Let's find out. I'm your host, Laura Fisher. Well, welcome. I have a special guest today, VJ.
Hello, hello. VJ Patisipu.
There you go. I just got stuck. You are my special guest today. We had a lunch and learn here at the Business E-Suites, yeah. And you came and talked to our tenants, our members, about what kind of law would you say that, I mean, today you talked about protecting your contact and your information in your trade. That's not all that you do, but that's what we talked about today.
Yeah. Basically protecting your market presence, protecting your types of intellectual property that a lot of people don't realize that they have, certain trade secrets, customer lists, vendor lists, ways to get out in front of a situation where an outgoing employee could wrongfully compete with you or things like that.
When you were speaking today, I mean, I didn't even think about my customer list, my vendors as a trade secret because they're just my contacts. But right. I could see how that's valuable to a stranger.
And if you think about how much work you put into building up your book of business and your Rolodex, it didn't just happen overnight. You didn't just open a phone book and figure out, okay, I'm going to talk to these people in the city. It took a while and takes a lot of sweat equity that you put into that.
Yeah. And you talked a lot about when you have an employee on your staff and then they leave, and do you have any recourse? And you spoke to us about some of that. Can you tell us a little bit about what you said we can do as a small business owner?
Several things. So on the front end, making clear that what information you're giving to the person is a thing of value and is something confidential, not something to just be taken and run away with. And on the back end, if and when that person might want to leave, that you have certain protections. There are certain kinds of deals you can structure with an outgoing contractor or employee where you have an exchange of money or know-how or whatever to where they're not using that to compete with you in a wrongful way.
I know you mentioned the difference between a contractor or, you know, an independent agent or independent contractor working for you versus an employee, and there's some caution.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And this is maybe the number one thing I wish more small business owners knew about. A lot of people just 1099 everybody and think you can just kind of do the same things or expect the same things from that kind of person as you would an employee, but that's just not true. And so that's one way to be clear about your expectations and protections in place for both of you up front. So an employee under the law, common law of Texas, as in most states, has what's called a fiduciary duty to you as an employer. So a duty of loyalty and a duty of candor. So to do what is in the business's best interest and also to be upfront and clear about what that employee is doing in the course of his or her work for the company. An independent contractor doesn't have any of those duties, but those can be papered up.
After the fact?
Yeah. That's something that can be done to where if you have somebody who's handling sensitive information, for example, you can just make clear what those duties would be in writing as a matter of contract.
When I hear that, I'm thinking all the name, social security number, all the private information, but your scope is probably so much larger than mine. When it's my trade secret information, like I have a couple businesses, I run a mini storage. I have a database with my customers in it. I have practices and policies that I've got documented. Then I run another company, and maybe the way I'm doing something is different, and I didn't realize it, that it was actually a trade secret. Like, I think one of the things we do is we have good hospitality, but how is that a trade secret? What am I training them that I didn't realize is unique that is a trade secret?
That's an excellent question. I mean, that goes to the heart of your identity as a business, the experience that your customers have. To some extent, those can be articulated. To some extent, it's a je ne sais quoi, I suppose. This is not to say that one should paranoiacally create the McDonald's binder of, you know, of every little thing you should do.
With like 100 addendums, right?
Yeah.
New policy, everybody sign here.
Right. This is more like things to be aware of that could go sideways later. Whether or not they ever do go sideways, it's just a way to be aware of what could happen later. There are certain things that you'll teach your employees that they'll take with them for the rest of their careers. And that's just part of the goodwill and good karma you spread into the world.
That's true.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot from my past employers, good and bad.
Right.
You take it all from that. So tell me about your law firm, where you work. Did you start it? Give me a little bit of information about you. Tell me who you are and how you came to be here.
My name is Vijay Patisabu. I'm a solo practitioner, and I work primarily with Sandra Gomez and her practice, and we're a consortium of several attorneys. I primarily practice in the area of employment law and commercial litigation. So that encompasses all kinds of things from business disputes, partnership divorces, when two people go into business and had to cut the sheets, to wage claims, discrimination claims for both employers and employees. And I've been doing that for about 10 years now.
When I'm thinking about partners, I mean, my husband and I, we're sole owners of a business, and to have a partner gives us a lot of anxiety because then we have to share profits and loss, right? So are there any partnerships out there that work, or in your line of field, you're not really sure?
And partnerships, that's more hardcore than marriage, I guess, in a lot of ways. Business partnerships, it's tough. I guess I'll defer from answering that question, but it's true.
What could you give somebody an insight of? You and your college buddy had an idea, and y'all started something, and it started to grow. What could you tell them?
I'm going to have a caveat with everything I say, which as a lawyer, it's going to sound like everything is doom and gloom, but that's kind of my job, is to give the doom and gloom side of things.
Right.
And a lot of times business owners are very optimistic, glass half full type folks. And that's why I love being around them. They just see possibilities. And I'm often the Eeyore who has to say, well, these are possible liabilities or whatever. So that's not the whole reality, but it is a perspective that is useful sometimes. And that's why in terms of partnerships in Texas, as it is in most states in the United States, you don't need to file anything to form a partnership. And that can be a good thing in terms of you can just get started and get to work. It can also be a scary thing because I've seen it happen to where somebody was a dud and then just comes back 5 years later and sues and says, yes, we were partners. Yeah. Now I have half your business. That's the business case. That's a nightmare.
Hurt.
Yeah. Where somebody, you know, I represented an electrician who wanted to go into a partnership with a guy. He maybe did one or two jobs with them. 5 years later, gets sued, you know, for half his business, a multi-million-dollar business he started. I mean, that's the craziness of partnership law. So you want to be careful about what you sign.
Yeah.
If anything.
So what's inferred, though, if you start a business with somebody? Is it always inferred that you're 50-50, or do you have to just say, hey, VJ, you're 30, I'm 70. I mean, do you have to say it, or is there an inference that is upheld in law?
You don't have to articulate it in words under the law. It'll be inferred from your actions. But the best practice and the way to be the most careful about it is to put it in words and in writing. And that goes back to be careful about pulling form contracts off the internet, because that was like that case we just talked about. If you just pull something off the internet, that can be abused pretty badly against you later.
And it's never written for your advantage.
Right, right. And so it's not that you have to have everything down to the T's, but it's that, you know, could fences make good neighbors and the rest of it. Yeah.
Okay, so you're telling me you're part of a large practice. So, and you do employment law and commercial?
General litigation, disputes, all kinds of businesses, breach of contract.
You do that primarily here in Houston, Texas?
Yes, ma'am. Also across the state, but mostly in Houston, yeah.
How long have you been a lawyer? Where'd you get your education? Where are you from?
I grew up in Dallas. I was born in South Dakota.
I've never met anybody from South Dakota.
Yeah, I was the other kind of Indian from South Dakota. But
So are you Indian descent?
Yes, my parents are from India, yeah. Okay. And then you know, I grew up in the Dallas area from when I was very young. I lived next to the old Texas Stadium. I went to UT for undergrad. Went to University of Michigan for law school, which was fun.
Is that one of those big football universities?
Yeah, we were kind of insulated from the rest of that. Didn't get outside much of the library.
And what brought you to Houston?
I've always loved practicing here, and I don't know what it is about it. My brothers worked as doctors here in the Med Center. Mm-hmm. They've since moved to Columbus and Memphis. And so I kind of followed them for a little bit just to be around my family. I don't know why. Maybe it's something southern and genteel about Houston, but it's just I enjoy practicing here. It's a little bit of a different culture than even other courts in Texas.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I mean, the federal and state courts. Interesting enough.
So you grew up in South Dakota?
In Dallas.
You grew up in Dallas. Duckerville,
yeah.
So what was your first job?
My first job was I was a cashier at a movie theater. Did that for several years, which, you know, back in those days, the real compensation was you got free movies, but
and popcorn.
Yeah. I didn't eat popcorn for several years after that job.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, you can't even smell it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about the practice and how people can reach you and other lawyers in your office.
Sandra Gomez, I would say, is the majordomo of our group. And we do a lot of things. We do corporate immigration work, bankruptcy work. Anybody who wants to get in touch with us can look up the Sandra Gomez Law Firm at sandragomezlaw.com. And that's 713-518-1529. We have a fantastic group of attorneys and staff there. Really great, fun place to work. I just started working with them.
How many people are in your office? Like hundreds or like 20?
I think about, what is it, a dozen?
That's a nice size.
Yeah, it's nice. And it
you was, know each other.
Yeah, and it's fun. I mean, I started working at the beginning of 2021 with them, which was just a breath of fresh air after this lockdown. To get into an office, get going, get moving.
Yeah. So what were you doing before that?
I was working in employment law at other firms. I worked with Joe Bunker, and we did a lot of wage and hour law. I've primarily done employment law my whole career, but also general business litigation.
I bet, I'm going to wrap this up soon, but I bet my experience being an employer is my intentions were always good, right?
Yeah.
But you probably find that their intentions didn't cover them. When it comes to just being an employer and because all of the wage and there's just so much. I'm hoping QuickBooks is getting all my stuff right.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Well, having been on both sides of it, I have sympathies for employees who get abused. But I think a lot of employers, it's almost like no good deed goes unpunished, especially with the raft of new regulations that have been implemented that bind employers. Just last year, in the fall of last year, 600 pages of new regulations binding employers across the country have been
Wow. That's why I have to call you.
I definitely feel bad for employers having to manage all that on top of making payroll and everything else. But you got to admire the people who do what you do.
I got a nice piece of paper here in front of me. It says y'all do immigration law, family law, business and real estate law. That's handy. Bankruptcy, employment law, criminal defense, estate planning, and mediation. And how many languages does your law firm speak?
Let's see, Spanish, Arabic, and Vietnamese, and as well as English.
That is incredible. That must come in handy here in Houston. I mean, we're such an international city, and especially with your immigration.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure each country has its own.
Oh yeah, we have. I think Houston is the largest Vietnamese population outside of Vietnam, if I remember correctly.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, thank you so much for stopping by today.
Thanks for having me.
I am delighted you were at the. We're recording this at the Imperial Podcast Studio inside Business E Suites in Sugar Land, Texas. And I look forward to seeing your career grow. And hopefully I won't need you, but if I do, yeah. I'll give you a call.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thanks for joining us this week on Small Business Insights. Make sure you visit our website at fisherpodcast.com where you can follow the podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform so you'll never miss a show. If you enjoyed and found value in today's episode, we'd appreciate a rating and review on iTunes, or simply share it with a friend. That would help us out too. Make sure you tune in next week for our next episode. Until then, you better be up to something.